Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow Americans.
He's been sick. And I think his wife is going to bring him some chicken soup. It's hard to defend an unpopular policy every once in a while.
Plastic people, oh baby, now you're such a drag.
And there's this guy from the CIA and he's creeping around Laurel Canyon.
My little girl, she waits for me. She's as plastic as she can be. She paints her face with plastic glue and wrecks her hair with some shampoo.
Plastic people, oh baby, now you're such a drag.
I don't know, sometimes I just get tired of you, honey. It's your hairspray or something. I hear the sound of marching feet down Sunset Boulevard to Crescent Heights, and there at Pandora's Box, we are confronted with a vast quantity of plastic people.
Take a day and walk around. Watch the Nazis run your town. Then go home and check yourself. You think we're singing about someone else,
but you're plastic people. Oh, baby, now you're such a drag.
No, a prune is not a vegetable. Cabbage is a vegetable. Makes no
drive. You dream about. You think only of. You read. You are. Pebbles. Plastic. Pebbles. Purple prancing.
Everybody.
June, feels your chest. I
see your lovely beams. And in that magic go-kart, I bite your neck, the love I have for you, my dear, is real and a very new.
Chunka, 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 chunka.
And stands,
oh no,
taller and stronger than any tree or bush. And I know the love I have for you will grow and grow and grow, I think. And so, my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
My Duchess of Prunes.
I'm putting me through the prune in June. It fills your chest. I see your lovely beams. And in that magical part, I bite your neck. The cheese I have for you, my dear, is real and a very new. And they just lie there, drowning and sickening, and it just, I don't know. And I know, I think, the love I have for you will never end. Well, maybe. And so, my love, I offer you a love that is strong, a prune that is true.
This is the exciting part.
Just like the Supremes,
so the way it builds up.
Baby,
you feel it?
Baby, baby, baby.
My prune is yours, my love. My cheese for you,
my baby prune.
My baby, my prune.
My baby, my dear.
My baby prune.
My baby prune.
This is a song about vegetables. They keep you regular. They're real good for you.
Call any vegetable.
Call any vegetable.
Call it by name.
Call any vegetable.
Call one today.
Call
when you get off the train.
Call any vegetable.
Call any vegetable. And the chances are good. All the vegetable will respond to you.
Some people don't go for prunes. I don't know. I've always found that if they...
Call any vegetable.
Call any vegetable.
Pick up your phone.
Call any vegetable.
Think of a vegetable.
Call any vegetable.
Lonely at home.
Call any vegetable.
Chances are good that a vegetable will respond to you.
Rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga.
rutabaga, rutabaga.
A prune isn't really a vegetable. Cabbage is a vegetable.
No one will know if you don't want to let them know. No one will know unless it's you that might tell them so. Call and they'll come to you covered with dew. Vegetables dream of responding to you. Standing there shiny and proud by your side, holding your hand while the neighbors decide. Why is a vegetable something to hide?
Wow! Wow!
Yeah.
don't bother about their friends in the vegetable kingdom. They think, what can I say? What can a person like myself say to a vegetable? But the answer is simple, my friends. Just call and tell them how you feel about muffins, pumpkins, wax paper, Caledonia mahogany's elbows, and green things in general. And soon a new rapport, you and your new little green and yellow buddies, grooving together, oh no, maintaining your coolness together, worshiping together in the church of your choice, only in America. Chances are good, that the vegetable will respond to you. Oh no, can you see them responding? The pumpkin is breathing hard. What a pumpkin.
Those were the Mothers of Invention, number one in the series Underground Oratorio, that says from the LP, Absolutely Free. And don't forget that a little later on, this year, actually, sometime, I don't know, in the autumn anyway, the Mothers of Invention are going to be causing a fence in your neighborhood. So go and see them if they come. Should be an amazing thing. This is from the Zodiac Cosmic Sounds LP, that brought a lot of happiness in the Perfume Garden. They've got a lot of paintings and things from people, and met a lot of people through it. And this is the track Aquarius, the lover of life.
Or 4,000 dreams may decay into indigo dust that covers Aquarius, and still the voice will say, love. Go, be, but forget no one. Weak, strong, all belong. In the friendly opal light of Uranus, all men can blend, yet still be what they are.
Their cosmic sounds, that's Aquarius, the lover of life. These are John's children, featuring Mark Bolden, among others, and this is called Desdemona.
Desdemona, just because you're the daughter of a man, he may be rich, he's in a ditch. Does not understand just how to move old rock and roll to the conventions of the young. Desdemona,
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 Desdemona.
Lift up your skirt and fly.
John's children, and they're going to have an LP in the market on September, in September sometime. It's September already. I'm getting so tired, I don't even know what time of year it is. It's exactly 4:30 in case you're keeping a record, and I hope you're going to stick with me until 5:30 to be closed the gates of the perfume garden with all of us inside, and we'll open them again as soon as we can, one way or another, so that more people can come in and join us, because we need as many people as we can get. These are the Blues Project from the LP Projections, and this is called Flute Fame.
Thank you.
blues project, and that's called Flute Thing from an LP called Projection, which is very interesting actually. I thought this last Perfume Garden, for the time being anyway, that it would be nice to read another story from Winnie the Pooh, because I read a couple already. Nobody said anything about them, sort of stunned silence, but I enjoyed reading them, so as it's 23 minutes to 5 in the morning, there aren't too many people listening anyway, I thought I'd go ahead and read another. And I've always identified with Piglet in these stories. I don't know why, some Freudian reason, no doubt. And this one seemed rather appropriate. It's called In Which Piglet Is Entirely Surrounded by Water. It rained, and it rained, and it rained. Piglet told himself that never in all his life, and he was goodness knows how old, 3 was it, or 4? Never had he seen so much rain. Days and days and days. If only, he thought as he looked out the window, I've been in Pooh's house, or Christopher Robin's house, or Rabbit's house when it began to rain, then I should have had company all this time, instead of being here all alone, with nothing to do except wonder when it will stop. And he imagined himself with Pooh saying, did you ever see such a rain, Pooh? And Pooh answering, isn't it awful, Piglet? And Piglet saying, I wonder how it is over at Christopher Robin's way. And Pooh saying, I should think poor old Rabbit is about flooded out by this time. It would have been jolly to talk like this, and really, it wasn't much good having anything exciting like floods if you couldn't share them with somebody. But it was rather exciting. The little dry ditches in which Piglet had nosed about so often had become streams, and the little streams across which he had splashed were rivers, and the rivers, and the river, between whose steep banks they had played so happily, had sprawled out of its own bed and was taking up so much room everywhere that Piglet was beginning to wonder whether it was soon coming into his bed. It is a little anxious, he said to himself, to be a very small animal entirely surrounded by water. Christopher Robin and Pooh could escape by climbing trees, and Kanga could escape by jumping, and Rabbit could escape by burrowing, and Owl could escape by flying, and Newell could escape by making a loud noise until rescued. And here am I, surrounded by water, and I can't do anything. It went on raining, and every day the water got a little higher, until now it was nearly up to Piglet's window, and still he hadn't done anything. There's Pooh, he said to himself. Pooh hasn't much brain, but he never comes to any harm. He does silly things, and they turn out all right. There's Owl. Owl hasn't exactly got brain, but he knows things. He would know the right thing to do when surrounded by water. There's Rabbit. He hasn't learned in books, but he can always think of a clever plan. There's Kanga. She isn't clever, Kanga isn't, but you would be so anxious about Roo that you would do a good thing to do without thinking about it. And then there's Eeyore. And Eeyore is so miserable anyway that he wouldn't mind about this. But I wonder what Christopher Robin would do. Then suddenly he remembered a story which Christopher Robin had told him about a man on a desert island who had written something in a bottle and thrown it into the sea. And Piglet thought that if he wrote something in a bottle and threw it into the water, perhaps somebody would come and rescue him. Well, he left the window and began to search his house, all of it that wasn't under water, and at last he found a pencil and a small piece of dry paper and a bottle with a cork to it, and he wrote on one side of the paper, help, Piglet, me. And then on the other side, it's me, Piglet, help, help. Then he put the paper in the bottle, and he caught the bottle up as tightly as he could, and he leant out of his window as far as he could lean without falling in, and he threw the bottle as far as he could throw, splash, and in a little while it bobbed up again on the water, and he watched it floating slowly away in the distance until his eyes ached with looking, and sometimes he thought it was the bottle, and sometimes he thought it was just a ripple on the water which he was following, and then suddenly he knew that he would never see it again, and that he had done all that he could do to save himself. So now he thought, somebody will have to do something, and I hope they will do it soon, because if they don't, I shall have to swim, which I can't, so I hope they do it soon. And then he gave a very long sigh and said, I wish Pooh were here, so much more friendly with two. When the rain began, Pooh was asleep. It rained, and it rained, and it rained, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept. He had had a tiring day. You remember how he discovered the North Pole? Well, he was so proud of this that he asked Christopher Robin if there were any other poles such as a bear of little brain might discover. There's a South Pole, said Christopher Robin, and I expect there's an East Pole and a West Pole, although people don't like talking about them. Now, Pooh was very excited when he heard this, and he suggested that they should have an expedition to discover the East Pole, but Christopher Robin had thought of something else to do with Kanga, so Pooh went out to discover the East Pole by himself. Whether he discovered it or not, I forget, but he was so tired when he got home that in the very middle of his supper, after he'd been eating for little more than half an hour, he fell fast asleep in his chair, and and slept and slept and slept. Then suddenly he was dreaming. He was at the East Pole, and it was a very cold pole, with the coldest sort of snow and ice all over it. He had found a beehive to sleep in, but there wasn't room for his legs, so he had left them outside. And wild woozles, such as inhabit the East Pole, came and nibbled all the fur off his legs to make nests for their young. And the more they nibbled, the colder his legs got, until suddenly he woke up with an owl, and there he was, sitting in his chair with his feet in the water, and water all around him. He splashed to his door and looked out. "This is serious," said Pooh. "I must have an escape." So he took his largest pot of honey and escaped with it to a broad branch of his tree, well above the water. Then he climbed down again and escaped with another pot. And when the whole escape was finished, there was Pooh sitting on his branch, dangling his legs, and there beside him were 10 pots of honey. 2 days later, there was Pooh sitting on his branch, dangling his leg, and there beside him were 4 pots of honey. 3 days later, there was Pooh sitting on his branch, dangling his legs, and there beside him was 1 pot of honey. 4 days later, there was Pooh. And it was on the morning of the 4th day that Piglet's bottle came floating past him, and with one loud cry of "Honey!" Pooh plunged into the water, seized the bottle, and struggled back to his tree again. "Mother," said Pooh as he opened it, "what's all that wet for nothing? What's that bit of paper doing?" He took it out and looked at it. "It's a message," he said to himself, "that's what it is. And that letter is a poo, and is a P, and so is that, and so is that. And P means poo, and so it's a very important message to me, and I can't read it. I must find Christopher Robin, or Owl, or Piglet, one of those clever readers who can read things, and they can tell me what this message means, only I can't swim. Bother." Then he had an idea, and I think that for a bear of very little brain, it was a very good idea. He said to himself, "If a bottle can float, then a jar can float. And if a jar floats, I can sit on the top of it, if it's a very large jar." So he took his biggest jar and corked it up. "All boats have to have a name," he said, "so I shall call mine a floating bear." And with these words, he dropped his boat into the water and jumped in after it. For a little while, Pooh and the floating bear were uncertain as to which of them was meant to be on top. But after trying one or two different positions, they settled down with the floating bear underneath, and Pooh triumphantly astride it, paddling vigorously with his feet. Christopher Log Robin lived at the very top of the forest. It rained, and it rained, and it rained, but the water didn't come up to his house. It was rather jolly to look down into the valleys and see the water all around him, but it rained so hard that he stayed indoors most of the time and thought about things. Every morning he went out with his umbrella and put a stick in the place where the water came up to, and every next morning he went out and he couldn't see his stick anymore, so he put another stick in the place where the water came up to, and then he walked home again. And each morning he had a shorter way to walk than he'd had the morning before. On the morning of the 5th day, he saw the water all around him and knew that for the first time in his life he was on a real island, which was all very exciting.
The sun was going down behind a tattooed tree, and the simple act of an oar stroke put diamonds in the sea. And all because of the phosphorus there in quantity, as I dug a dig in me in Mexico. There in the valley of Scorpio, beneath the cross of jade, smoking on the seashell pipe the gypsies had made, we sat and we dreamed a while, the smugglers bringing wine, that crystal thought time in Mexico. Sitting in the chair of bamboo, sipping grenadine, straining my eyes for a surfacing submarine. Kingdoms of ants walk across my feet, I'm a shaking in my seat in Mexico. grasshoppers creaking in the velvet jungle night. Microscopic circles in the fluid of my sight. Watching a black-eyed native girl cut and trim the lamp. Valentino vamp in Mexico. The sun was going down behind a tattooed tree, and the simple act of a no-stroke put the diamonds in the sea. And all because of the phosphorus there in quantity. How dug you digging me in Mexico?
On the morning of the fifth day, he saw the water all around him, and he knew that for the first time in his life he was on a real island, which was very exciting. It was on this morning that Al came flying over the water to say, "How do you do?" to his friend Christopher Robin. "I say, Al," said Christopher Robin, "isn't this fun? I'm on an island." The atmospheric conditions have been unfavorable lately," said Al. "But what?" "It has been raining," explained Al. "Yes," said Christopher Robin, "it certainly has. The flood level has reached an unprecedented height." "There's a lot of water about," explained Al. "Yes," said Christopher Robin, "there is. However, the prospects are rapidly becoming more favorable. At any moment..." "Have you seen Pooh?" "No." "At any moment..." "I hope he's all right," said Christopher Robin. "I've been wondering about him. I expect Piglet's with him. Do you think they're all right, Al?" "I expect so. You see, at any moment, do go and see Al, because Pooh hasn't got very much brain, and he might do something silly. And I do love him so, Al. Do you see?" "That's all right," said Al. "I'll go. Back directly." And off he flew. In a little while, he was back again. "Pooh isn't there," he said. "Up there? He's been there. He's been sitting on a branch of his house, a tree outside his house with 9 pots of honey. But he isn't there now." "Oh, Pooh," said Christopher Robin, "where are you?" "Here I am," said a growly voice behind him. "Pooh," and they rushed into each other's arms. "How did you get here, Pooh?" asked Christopher Robin when he was ready to talk again. "On my boat," said Pooh proudly. "I had a very important message sent to me in a boat, bottle. And owing to having got some water in my eyes, I couldn't read it, so I brought it to you. On my boat." With these proud words, he gave Christopher Robin the message. "But it's from Piglet," cried Christopher Robin when he had read it. "Isn't there anything about Pooh in it?" asked Bear, looking over his shoulder. Christopher Robin read the message aloud. "Oh, are those peas Piglets? I thought they were Poohs." "We must rescue him at once," said Christopher Robin. "I thought he was with you, Pooh." "Al, could you rescue him on your back?" "I don't think so," said Al, after grave thought. He was doubtful of the necessary dorsal muscles. "Then could you fly to him at once and say that rescue is coming, and Pooh and I will think of a rescue and come as quick as ever we can?" "Oh, don't talk, Al. Go on quick." And still thinking something to say, Al flew off. "Now then, Pooh," said Christopher Robin, "where's your boat?" "I ought to say," explained Pooh, as they walked down to the shore of the island, "that it isn't sometimes it's a boat, and sometimes it's more of an accident. It all depends." "Depends on what?" "Well, on whether I'm on the top of it or underneath it." "Oh, well, where is it?" "There," said Pooh, pointing proudly to the floating bear. It wasn't exactly what Christopher Robin expected, and the more he looked at it, the more he thought what a brave and clever bear Pooh was. And the more Christopher Robin thought this, the more Pooh looked modestly down his nose and tried to pretend that he wasn't. "But it's too small for two of us," said Christopher Robin sadly. "Three of us with Piglet. That makes it smaller still. Oh, Pooh Bear, what should we do?" And then this bear, Pooh Bear, that's Winnie the Pooh, F.O.B., friend of Piglet's, R.C., Rabbit's companion, P.D., pole discoverer, E.C. and T.F., Eeyore's comforter and tail finder, in fact, Pooh himself, said something so clever that Christopher Robin could only look at him with mouth open and eyes staring, wondering if it was really the bear of very little brain whom he had known and loved so long. "We might go in your umbrella," said Pooh. Suddenly Christopher Robin saw that they might. He opened his umbrella and put it point downwards in the water. It floated, but wobbled. Pooh got in. He was just beginning to say that he was all right now, when he found that it wasn't. So after a short drink, which he didn't really want, he waded back to Christopher Robin. Then they both got in together, and it wobbled no longer. "I shall call this boat the Brain of Pooh," said Christopher Robin. And the Brain of Pooh set sail forthwith in a southwesterly direction, revolving gracefully. Well, you can imagine Piglet's joy when at last the ship came in sight of him. In after years, he liked to think that he'd been in very great danger during the terrible flood, but the only danger he'd ever really been in was in the last half hour of his imprisonment. An owl, who had just flown up, sat on a branch of his tree to comfort him, and told him a very long story about an aunt who had once laid a seagull's egg by mistake. And the story went on and on, rather like this sentence, until Piglet, who was listening out of his window without much hope, went to sleep quietly and naturally, slipping slowly out of the window towards the water, until he was only hanging on by his toes, at which moment, luckily, a sudden loud squawk from Owl, which was really part of the story, being what his aunt said, woke Piglet up, and just gave him time to jerk himself back into safety and say, "How interesting, and did she?" When, well, you can imagine his joy when at last he saw the good ship Brain of Pooh, Captain C. Robin, First Mate P. Bear, coming over the sea to rescue him. And that is really the end of the story, and I'm very tired after that last sentence. I think I shall stop there.
Sunday morning brings the dawning. It's just a restless feeling by my side. Early dawning Sunday morning. It's just the wasted years so close behind. Watch out, the world's behind you. There's always someone around you who will call. It's nothing at all. Sunday morning and I'm falling. I've got a feeling I don't want to know.
Sunday morning, the Verve LP at Albert Underground with Nico. And I bet that's the first time that you've been read a story from Winnie the Pooh very badly at 4:45 in the morning. They do unique experiences every single day. And we've got 34 minutes of the Perfume Garden to go, and then Chuck Blair will be here. In the meantime, John Mayall on the Blues Break.
Sit around the crying. But when you say you'll believe it every I've been blue, I've been so worried all over you. I've been troubled, I've been blue, I've been so worried all over you. But when I hear you say you'll be leaving every day, you'll be coming on top of a hill. I've been so worried all over you. I've been troubled, I've been blue, I've been so worried all over you. But when you say you'll be living every day, you'll be coming on top of the hill.
John Mayall and Blues Breakers from the Hard Road LP, that's called Crawling on Top of a Hill. I had no idea, actually, that 5.5 hours could make you so tired. Anyway, it's rather nice to, I feel sort of lethargic and sort of lumpy, you know, sitting here. Anyway, the weather, it's going to be mainly cloudy today, although it will be dry, with temperatures falling to 10 degrees centigrade, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and today will be cloudy with rain in places becoming heavier as the day progresses, which I can't even say. Temperatures will be a cool 19 degrees centigrade, 66 degrees Fahrenheit, and the winds will freshen. The outlook for Tuesday, changeable with rain at times and sunny intervals. Pink Floyd.
There was a king who ruled the land. His majesty was in command. With silver eyes, the scarlet eagle showered silver on the people.
You have to leave me there, hanging in my infidel,
waiting.
You only have to read the lines of scribbly black and everything shines.